Did you say good morning this morning to somebody? This is best not my talk. I'm adding this to it. Did you ever stop to think that you can put words and meanings to the statement good morning? People say it and take it for granted. But you can make it mean something. Could stand for get up. You got up this morning out of bed. The first O could stand for open your heart to God. That'll help with a lot of our problems. Next one is open your mind to God to listen to what He has to say to you. The D on G would dedicate your day to God. You can think about that. We say good morning, we never think about what that could mean to us. M for morning. Meditate on God's Word. We don't always do it, but that's one of the best things in our life that we can do. Optimize your faith and hope in God. Make that the most important thing for you. R is kind of a strength to us. Rebuke all evil. Kick it away. I stands for something that Jason was trying to do this morning. Inspire someone to overcome things. N, let nothing scare you. Because God is always on your side. G, because God is with you, go out with joy. That's what the meaning of the good morning we say to each other can mean, if you still let it. So I say good morning, have a blessed day. Think about that. That's notes I had, Jason, and you said in your class this morning I didn't pick them up because it hit me. What I want to talk to you about is the Bible is all one story. It's a storybook. Inspired by God. You ever stop to compare that in the beginning of the Bible in the Genesis and in the last chapter of Revelation is the closing of what God wants to tell us? When I read this article, it hit me to thinking about it. That's why I had this in mind when Jason called me. I already had this in mind because I'd been reading this article about for the last 6 weeks. The first words in the book of the Bible in Genesis is, God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1. In John's Revelation, in Revelation 21:1, says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's the day of judgment. God created it, and at the end of it, it's going to change. We haven't seen it yet. Remember in Genesis 1:10 when God said the gathering of the water, what did He call it? The sea. The gathering of the water He called sea. Revelation 21:1, there will be no more sea in heaven. Be no more. The sea will be no more. Genesis 1:5. What did God call the darkness? He called it night. There are a few of us who like a clear night with the moon out. I love being out in the moonlight and clear night. But it's still called darkness. It's called night. Revelation 21 and 25, there will be no more night in heaven. The glory of God will keep it bright. There'll be no more night. You won't have to face night there. Genesis 1:16, God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. Revelation 21 and 23, the city has no need of lights, no need of sun, no of the moon. The glory of God will shine upon it, be bright all the time, will have no need of the sun in heaven. Remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17, Revelation 21:4, there will be no more death in heaven. But I want to add one thought to that, where it says you shall surely die. If I can find it here real quick, like. Yeah. There we go. I want to read you four verses in Genesis, the third chapter. And especially I want to express interest in the third verse. I want to read the first four verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God indeed said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, or you will die. Most people forget that last part of that verse. They think you can't eat it. He said you can't even touch it. God said you will die. Servant said to the woman, you shall not die at all, because he was trying to convince her to do something wrong. God's warning in it, you couldn't eat it, you couldn't even touch it. Well, you're going to die. I don't know how many times I've been taught that, read that and been taught, you can't eat the fruit. The last part of that verse was left out. You cannot touch it even. Genesis 3 and 16, you talk about it like in childbirth. It said, I will multiply your pains. We have pains on earth. We have physical pains. We have mental pains. All caused by the devil. Revelation 22 and 1. We have to look forward to in heaven. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more troubles. There's a lot of us standing in this room today would be loved to be there and get rid of the arthritis pains we have. Yeah, I got pains. I just don't complain about them. You don't know about them. I don't let you know, but I have them all the time. Uncle Arthur, I call it. But there will be none of that in heaven. God will take care of it. Revelation says he will take that away from us. Genesis 3 and 17, God told Adam that he would curse the ground for your sake. Weeds and stuff we put up on now. Of course, Kelly would like the weed. He has a business by killing weeds. But it's good for some people, but not for the rest of us. But God said, do we curse your ground for your sake? We got weeds. Revelation 22 and 3, there will be no more curses in heaven. We know our curses. God will do away with all of it. Genesis 3, the first four verses, I read them for you. That's why I read those verses for you. I wanted you to think about them before I got to them. Satan appears as a deceiver of mankind. Read Revelation 20, verse 10. Satan will disappear forever. The words that God gave John to write the book of Revelation said, Satan will disappear forever. Won't be no more Satan in heaven to worry about. And one of the most things that we're going to have to enjoy is, remember when Adam and Eve were driven from the garden to the tree of life in Genesis 3:22-24, the tree of life was taken out of the Garden of Eden. But Revelation 22 and 2, if we make it to heaven, we'll see the tree of life again. Well, there it is. It is in heaven. God didn't destroy it. He just moved it to a place where he wanted it to be. Genesis 3 and 24, Adam and Eve were driven from God's presence because of their sin. Another great thought that we'll have in Revelation 22 and 4, we will get to see God's face. It tells us in Revelation 22 and 4, we will get to see his face in heaven. Genesis 2 and 10, the Garden of Eden had a river through it. I'm sure it was a beautiful river. Revelation 22 and 1, you read it. Step down at home and read the last two chapters of Revelation. 22 and 21. Sit down and read and study them. In Revelation 22 and 1, man's eternal home will be by a river. How many times we read that, we don't really digest that God has given us that. You know what God talks about in his teaching through the whole book of the whole Bible? Don't mutilate it. Don't change the words of it. Don't try to change it. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about people wanting to change the words of the meaning of the word, change the meaning of it. We need to accept God's word just as it is, as it states to us. We can't change any part of it. You know, it is like something in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. In Christ's revelation to John, he tells John one thing that we need to stop and think about. You know, we don't know if we'll be here 5 seconds from now, let alone tomorrow. We don't know when he's going to come. None of us in this building might walk out of this building to our cars today. We don't know. In 22:7 and 22:12 and 22:20, Christ says, I come quickly. tell John that, or John puts in his revelation. How quick, we don't know. But when he comes, it's going to be so quick that we won't have time to do anything about it. That's what he's trying to tell us, to be ready. The whole book is about reaffirming that the Word of God is true. It's in 22 and 6. He tries to begin the book by blessing those who will follow him, and at the end, in Genesis and in Revelation, he closes with who will follow him by blessing those that follow him. Because in 22 and 7, he says, "Behold, I come shortly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book." That's what we have to look forward to today. We have a lot of things to be thankful for out of the Bible. They're simple, but yet there's a lot of meaning to them. Do you ever stop to think when Christ said this, when you've read this a numerous times, but when he stated, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star." I can tell you which verse it's in here in a second. 22:16. His revelation to John, that's what he, one of the statements he said, "That's what I am." Comes out of Numbers 24:17. Do you realize that Jesus is the one that all the prophecy pointed to back in the Old Testament, to a Redeemer? He's the one who fulfills all of it. He's the Savior. You know, apart from him, there's no hope to ever get to heaven. He says, "To all who will come, take the water of life freely. Come." His church has come. "Every one of them may join in by invitation. Glorious world ahead. Come before it's everlastingly too late." That's what Christ says to each of us. Where are you at today? In God's realm of this worldly life, are you a child of his? Or are you just still stumbling around the world letting the devil misguide you? You know, I could stand up here and ask you to become a child of his. But Christ stands up here invisibly with open arms asking you to come to him. Every time we meet, he is here with us. And every time we ask for you to become a child of his, he stands up here with open arms begging you to come to him. So all we can ask today is, if you're not a child of his, listen to the promises that he's given you from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And if you are a child of his and feel you may have stumbled, now is the time to make yourself right. Because there may not be any tomorrow. Because the scripture tells us that life is nothing but a vapor. It may be here and going and real quick. A lot of people on earth think that, well, I'll live to be 95 or 100 years old. Well, Well, you've never been someplace where you've seen 19, 20-year-old die in about 2 seconds. You cannot say you'll live to be that old. Cannot say we'll live for tomorrow. If God wills, we'll be here tomorrow. God wills, we'll be here tonight to meet with Him. But we'll ask you, if you're outside of here tonight, to come forward and stand and sing a song that mark the children.